In this episode, episode 40 of the Daily Hustle, it is part one of the series talking about crafting the perfect pitch to raise more money and sell more stuff. Today, we are talking about frame control. This is really big stuff for your business. You don't want to miss it. Also, we talk about Sean Kemp, the Rain Man.
Broadcasting from the Box That Rocks and Thrive15.com world headquarters, it's the Daily Hustle with Daniel McKenna.
What is going on, guys? It is episode 40 of the Daily Hustle Show. Sitting over to my left, Marshall F. Morris. Marshall, how are you doing today?
I'm doing awesome.
That's fantastic. I am Daniel McKenna. This is episode 40 of the Daily Hustle. I can't believe we've lasted 40 episodes. I can't believe the FTC. Is it FTC? Have they not kicked us off the air yet?
The Federal Trade Commission?
Yeah, sure. The FTC.
Okay.
CNN. The SEC.
BET.
I'm very surprised BET has not kicked us off the air yet.
Well, yeah. Surprised you've lasted this long.
Man, me specifically.
I'm surprised that you've been able to wear that shirt so many times.
I have worn this shirt literally every episode. Other episodes, I have other shirts on top of this shirt.
That's right.
Yep.
That's your undershirt.
Today, we are talking about crafting the perfect pitch to raise more money and sell more stuff. This is a multi-part series. And honestly, Marshall, this is really fascinating stuff. If you are in the business where you need to pitch things, pitch ideas to people, pitch opportunities to raise money, maybe you need to pitch to other businesses to sell your services, this is going to be extremely valuable for you. And today's part of this series is talking about frame control. Frame control, Marshall. The secrets behind controlling the conversation. Are you excited about this?
I'm pumped.
This is, by the way, this is episode 40. This could be the Gale Sayers episode, but it's the Sean Kemp episode.
Instead of Gale Sayers.
Gale Sayers had his career cut short, injuries. I remember watching Sean Kemp and being like, that is the coolest man alive. So it's Sean Kemp, dunking on people.
Just kapoof.
And if you want to dunk on people in your business, you want to watch or listen to this episode. All right, let's go ahead and dive into it here, Marshall. This is all from the book Pitch Anything. Go ahead and show them the book there, Mr. Marshall. Pitch Anything from Oren Claff. If you don't know who Oren Claff is, I don't blame you. But basically, he used this method to raise more than $400 million. And his argument is creating and presenting a great pitch isn't an art. It's a simple science. And we are going to dive into that today. All right, Marshall, here's the context.
Here's the context. Dan's been holding on to this book for about 8 months to 1 year.
I did. That's true.
And we've decided to dive into this book because he finally found it.
I thought I had brought that back to you. I had checked it off my to-do list. Yep, did it. Done. Brought it back. And then one morning
he found the book.
I found the book.
This is like one of my favorite books.
It's your name's in it and everything.
Yeah. Right there. It has my name on it. And it was on my to-do list for about 8 months to get it back from Dan.
Well, you know what? You've kept following up. I kept telling you I gave it back to you. One day I found it.
There it is.
Okay. Context here. For those who are wondering what frame control might be, we might be talking about here. Here's the context. Dude, 32-year-old dude. He's the CEO of his company. He's walking into a $1 billion financial institution. He's trying to raise some money. Trying to raise some money for his business. Sits in there for half an hour waiting for the owner, the manager, to come talk to him. 69-year-old, old cowboy-looking guy walks in, cuts off his presentation. So this guy's been working on this presentation. He's trying to raise a ton of money for his business. He probably spent countless hours presenting, tweaking. And now here he is, big moment. Owner comes in, cuts him right off at the beginning of the presentation. And he says, look, I only want to know two things from you. What are your expenses and what are you paying yourself? Now, if you spent any time crafting this presentation, you probably did not lead with what are my expenses and what am I paying myself. That's probably not the flow you wanted.
Right.
It's probably not the way you wanted the conversation to start off.
Mm-hmm.
You probably wanted to build a lot of value in what you're doing, have the ask at the end. This is probably not the conversation that you wanted to be having.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's like this guy's big moment. He's prepared. He's worked hard. He's practiced. He's ready. And immediately the older owner, he comes in, he cuts him off. He breaks his frame and he starts a conversation on his terms as opposed to the 32-year-old business owner's terms.
Right.
Okay, so that's what we're talking about. We're talking about frame control. Marshall, do you have any other examples of this? We're going to get into the specifics here. Any other examples that might bring some clarity to the people at home who maybe have never heard of frame control or maybe haven't latched on to this idea yet? Any other ideas about what frame control is all about?
Well, we're going to get into it here, you know, as later in the show notes, we're going to talk about it. But it's anybody that's seizing the power of a situation. So every social interaction has these frames. And so whether it be in business or social encounters or, I don't know, out at, you know, some kind of social gathering and you're talking and meeting new people and or even like in sport, you know, you talk a lot about, you know, frame control in sport. So all of these things are different scenarios in which frame control can be employed. It's not just business, but rather everyday life. We all use frame control.
Okay, so this is straight from the book, Pitch Anything, which, by the way, is a fantastic book. I don't recommend taking it from one of your friends and hiding it for 8 months, but I do recommend reading this book, which I have done. It's a great book. Okay, this could be a little bit lengthy, but this is gonna lay it out here. This could be specific stuff here for us, Marshall, and then I would like you to give your context on this, your knowledge based on what you've done with your business owners that you work with all the time. Okay, this is from the book, Pitch Anything. It says, imagine looking at the world through a window frame that you hold in your hands. As you move the frame around, the sounds and images you encounter are interpreted by your brain in ways that are consistent with your intelligence, values, and ethics. This is your point of view. Yet, as we interpret the world through our frames, something else happens. Our brain process what our senses tell us, and quickly react with a series of questions. Is it dangerous? Should I eat it or mate with it? This is the croc brain at work doing what it does best, detecting frames, protecting us from threats, and using dominance and aggression to deflect attacking ideas and information. Marshall, before we keep going, and we're going to talk about the croc brain in another episode, what is he talking about here?
Well, he's saying that your croc brain, the early most part of the brain, that's where all the decision making. So immediately your brain's processing all of this information very quickly and immediately has to make a decision on what am I doing with this information? What am I to do?
This is kind of your fight or flight response.
That's right.
You're very primal, the way your brain interprets the things that are going on around you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So there's your point of view and now you're coming into collision. You're colliding with another point of view or another perspective on what you're talking about. Okay, now your brain's trying to react. Whenever two or more people come together to communicate in a business setting, their frames square off and then come into contact, but not in a cooperative or friendly manner. Frames are extremely competitive. Remember, they are rooted in our survival instincts and they seek to sustain dominance. When frames come together, the first thing they do is collide. And this isn't a friendly competition, it's a death match. Frames don't merge, they don't blend, and they don't intermingle. They collide, and the stronger frame absorbs the weaker. This is what happens below the surface of every business meeting, every sales call you make, and every person-to-person business communication you have. Marshall, give us some examples here of what Oren is talking about here in the book Pitch Anything.
You know, everybody brings their own perspective, okay? So don't think about frames, but think about some of the terms that we've used in the past. He's just putting some type of logical construct around phenomenons that already exist, that we've already seen, that we've already felt. And so when you talk about frame control and talk about frames, what we're talking about is perspective and bias and different maybe motivations as part of your business meeting, okay? And so when those perspectives clash, one perspective is going to supersede the other, okay? What Oren Claff is talking about is no two frames, no two biases can exist in perpetuity as part of a business relationship maybe coming to a resolution or a decision, okay? One is going to win the other, okay? And controlling that bias, being able to understand and then break those frames is so important, so valuable to sales, pitching, business relationships.
So for instance, if you are talking about frames, if you're pitching to raise money, your frame would be like saying that this is a great idea. If you give us money, it's going to be good for you and your business. And their frame might be like, this isn't a great idea. I don't know why I would give you money. And one of those frames is going to win.
Sure. Yes.
Or maybe you're pitching some business-to-business solution. And you're saying, I know you have a problem with this. This is how we can help you. even though you already have somebody that does this for you, but we can do it better. That's your point of view. That's your frame. And their point of view, their frame is you're more expensive, or you're more less experienced, or we already have these guys, or that's their frame, right?
Boom.
Is that what we're talking about?
Boom.
Okay. So in summary here, everyone uses frames whether they know it or not. It just happens. Every social encounter brings different frames together. Frames do not coexist in the same time and place for long. They crash into each other and one or the other gains control. Only one frame survives. The others break and are absorbed. Stronger frames always absorb weaker frames. And the winning frame governs the social interaction. It is said to have frame control. So think about it. Think about in your business. Think about times you've pitched something. Sometimes that people have pitched something to you. Think about the social interaction that's going on there and the frames that are being developed around that conversation. For instance, if I am a kid and I'm asking my dad for something, his frame is one of power and of authority, and I'm asking him, I'm at his mercy saying, can I please stay the night at my friend's house? Like, he has the frame control, right? Okay, so think about that in your business settings. Who is controlling the frame? Who is controlling that conversation? Marshall, give us the example of the cop example they use in the book. He's talking about driving down the highway in California.
I'm going to turn to it.
Go ahead. He's talking about driving down the highway in California. You know, you're enjoying the sunset. You're enjoying the weather. The weather is perfect in California all the time, which is why it's so expensive to live there. You're driving. You're enjoying the weather. You're enjoying the sunset. And all of a sudden, you see in your rearview mirror. And you see those lights. You hear the sound. You see those lights. And instinctively, you're like, oh, crap. Was I speeding? Where'd that guy come from? I didn't see him. Like, you all of a sudden go, right?
Right.
Okay, so give us that example. Talk about the cop example in this book.
Well, I think you very clearly articulated it mostly so far.
I was setting the stage.
Well, yeah, absolutely. So, no, it's basically immediately all you see is the lights. There's different triggers. There's the red and blue lights in the rearview mirror. And immediately you're thinking, hey, I am at fault. I don't even know what I was doing, but I know that I'm in trouble. Okay, and so that immediate trigger of the siren and the lights, that triggers the frame where the cop has this authority, regardless of what you were doing or not doing, who knows? But immediately you feel a sense of guilt and what was I doing, and, you know, was I going too fast, and what did the cop think that I was doing wrong? Because the cop maintains this authority power frame from the get-go.
So regardless of what you say, he's probably going to control the frame.
That's right.
Because he has the power. He has the moral authority. He's the cop.
Mm-hmm.
He can do something about it. You probably can't do anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
So he owns the frame in this example. You're already like, you're instinctively, you're tensing up. You're kind of getting stressed. You're trying to figure out a way to get out of being in trouble. Like, he owns that frame.
That's right.
He controls that interaction.
That's right.
Okay. So regardless of what you say in that example, because he controls that frame, he gets the last word. He gets to decide how that interaction goes.
Mm-hmm.
He gets to decide if he's giving you a ticket, if he's going to impound your car, if he's going to give you a warning,
yeah.
If he's going to be a jerk or be a nice guy. Like, he gets to decide that.
Yeah. And so most people, in a cop example, they're getting pulled over. They're not going to respond by trying to represent more authority than the cop. They're not going to try and appeal to, well, sir, you should have never pulled me over. You're out of your jurisdiction.
I'm a secret agent.
I'm a secret agent.
For the CIA.
They're not going to do that.
Probably won't work.
Because that won't appeal to the cop. So you got to pick and choose. What do most people do? They plead ignorance. I don't know how fast I was going. Or they're like, you know, they try and represent it a very ethical position. Okay. You know what, officer? You're right. Thank you for keeping me safe on the road. They try and, I was trying to get to work early, and I was speeding. I was a little bit late. Okay, they're not going to tell the truth. They're just going to appeal to the cops, you know, moral compass. You know what, officer? I really appreciate you keeping the streets out here safe.
That's just a good like, one. Or maybe just, maybe just go full crying mode.
Just full crying.
Just full
mode.
Crying, breaking
somebody
down.
Somebody that's watching has done the full crying.
The full cry. Oh my gosh! I can't. I'm so sorry. Oh.
That's right.
Okay.
And so, so the quote in the book, okay, is rational appeals to higher order. Logical thinking never wins frame collisions or gain frame control. Strong frames are impervious to rational arguments. Weak arguments made up of logical discussions and facts just bounce off strong frames. Okay. So basically what the book is saying here is rational arguments, logical thinking never trumps strong emotion in decision making. So if you go, well, I was going 66 miles an hour, that is a fact. Well, the cop like doesn't care if you were only going 1 mile an hour over the 65 mile an hour speed limit. In fact, you have just admitted to breaking the law and going faster than the speed limit is. So like the logic's never going to win. So that's why most people don't go, well, I was going just 4 miles over the speed limit. They don't go that route because they know logic is not going to appeal to the officer. They know that this emotional, more of an emotional frame is going to break his authority frame more likely. Okay. So they have to appeal to a higher order.
You know, my analogies aren't always like, you know, here's an analogy. Here's a good analogy for you. I don't even know that that's an analogy. It's an example. It's even better. It's an example.
Daily hustle analogy with Dan McKenna.
That's right. You know how like celebrities can do crazy, crazy things. And people are like, bah, you see what Justin Bieber did? Hilarious. You see what so-and-so did at that restaurant? That's crazy. But if you or I did those things, we would just go to jail.
Right.
If you're like, because they control the frame. They control the conversation.
Yeah.
They're a big name. Therefore, they have some sort of like power behind their name because they're a big name. Mm-hmm. So they can get away with the old slap on the wrist or pay the fine or whatever that you and I can't do.
Mm-hmm.
Because our frame control compared to that restaurant owner, like he doesn't care who we are.
That's right.
But maybe if it's Justin Bieber or if it's somebody else that destroys in a like rock stars that destroy hotel rooms, you and I would be in serious, serious trouble if we destroyed a hotel room. But if it's a rock band, it's like, bah, we'll charge a few $1,000. It's cool. Guns N' Roses stayed here.
Right.
It's because they own the frame. They're controlling that conversation.
They just move on from there.
That's right. The key to frame control, when you are responding ineffectively to things the other person is saying and doing, that person owns the frame and you are being frame controlled. That's kind of the summary behind all this.
Okay.
So let's talk about what kind of frames there are.
Yeah.
We won't get into how to actually combat these. That's for the next episode. But these are the type of frames you will encounter, types of opposing frames you will encounter. There's the power frame, the time frame, and the analyst frame. And Marshall, can you give us a brief summary of those frames? I'll get into what you can do to attack those frames, but can you give us a brief summary for the next episode here of what the power frame is, the time frame is, and the analyst frame is?
Yeah, so the power frame, okay. So the power frame basically talks about somebody of high authority. They have the power. They are coming in with, I don't care what you say because I have the power to decide.
This is the cop.
This is the power frame.
This is the celebrity.
This is representing the authority. This is representing people in charge. Okay. Then the time frame. Hey, I know that what you're saying you feel is really important. I don't have a whole lot of time, so can you speed this up? Okay.
So like if you have a half hour presentation plan and that person's like, I've got 12 minutes.
Yeah.
then they control the conversation because they're saying, you've got to tell me something that I want to hear in 12 minutes.
My time is more important than what you have prepared.
Yes. Okay.
And then the analyst frame, somebody that wants to go into the far deep Siberia of logical thinking and therefore make an objective decision based on analysis and facts versus basically emotion. Okay, they don't want to make an irrational emotional decision, so they want to send themselves and you with your presentation into the Siberia of analysis.
So knowing that buyers are typically emotional buyers, and typically that's how you plan your sales pitch and you plan your business pitch and you plan your, like, that's what you plan around. This guy is trying to take on purpose, make sure you have zero emotion in it, and take you way off your game plan by just going straight into numbers and facts and logic, and that's what he's doing.
Right.
Okay. So the three type of opposing frames you will encounter: the power frame, the time frame, and the analyst frame. Okay, here are the response frame types that you can use to meet these oncoming frames to win the initial collision and control the agenda. Remember, you get to raise more money and sell more stuff when you are controlling the agenda. Okay, number one, the power busting frame. If they have the power frames, the power busting frame. If they have the time frame, you are putting on the time constraining frame. Or number three, the intrigue frame. The intrigue frame. We work against the analyst type of frame. And number four, the prize frame. The bonus, the prize frame here. Okay? So again, power busting, time constraining, intrigue, and prize. Those are the response frame types that you can use to meet these oncoming frames, win the initial collision, and control the agenda. And that's how you're going to sell more stuff. So basically, Marshall, this is one big teasing episode. This is basically getting you into the conversation, talking about what frame control even is. Before we move on to the daily wins of the week, because in the next episode, we're going to talk about how to actually combat these frames, how these actually work, how to actually control that conversation. Marshall, any other conversation you want to bring up about frame control?
Yeah, so frame control is basically opposing rational thinking versus irrational thinking or emotional thinking, okay? And so what you have to do is you have to understand that when you are doing sales or when you are pitching, decisions are made in the emotional part of the brain, okay? The croc brain. So we're going to reference the croc brain. And so when we say the croc brain, we're talking about the innermost part of the brain.
C-R-O-C, croc.
Croc brain. Okay. Talking about the crocodile brain, very, very emotional fight or flight brain, okay? So the croc brain. And when we do this pitching, when we do this selling, we have to speak to people's emotions, not to their analysis, okay? And when we do that, we'll be very much more successful, okay? And so when we talk about these frame-busting techniques, that's what we're talking about, okay, is really appealing to their emotional state.
So typically, if you're pitching something to somebody, they have something that you want, right? They have something that you would benefit from getting. So they have a certain frame that they are going to try to control the conversation with. And knowing these techniques that we'll talk about in the next episode will help you take control of that agenda, take control of that frame, and then get your argument across mm-hmm. in a way that they actually hear.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Bang.
This is good stuff. This is really good stuff. I wanted to make sure that everybody understood what we were talking about when we were talking about frame control. In the next episode, we're going to talk about how to actually do it.
Mm.
How to actually do it. The secrets behind controlling the conversation. Okay, that is it for today's episode. This is kind of a teaser episode, bringing up the idea. And in the next episode, we're going to tell you how to actually execute it. Daily wins, Marshall.
Shoo-shoo.
Oh, what was that?
It was a shoo-shoo.
Is that like a... Was that a jet? Or is that a...
It was more of a like an FX.
An FX?
Yeah.
Oh.
Shoo-shoo.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I like that. That was good.
Shoo-shoo.
Daily wins here, Marshall. I'm going to let you... You're going to be... I came in to pitch to try to win some money here. Raise some money.
Oh, okay.
And you're going to give me the daily wins of the week as the guy who doesn't want to give me money.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Bill, I'm here, and my business is awesome, and you should give us some money. Let me tell you why.
Hold on real quick. Before you get started, I want you to know You see this CEO name tag here on my desk here?
Yeah, I don't know why your name tag's on your desk, but go ahead.
My name tag's on my desk.
Okay, yeah.
And I just want you to know, it's a big deal. I had to move some very, very big deals that I was working on.
Really?
In order to meet with you.
Really?
Okay. So this better be good.
Well, I appreciate your time, and let me tell you why.
And I don't have a whole lot of time.
Okay.
I have 7 minutes.
Okay, well, I planned on an hour, but I can, I'll talk fast.
No, you only have 7 minutes.
Okay, I'll talk really fast. Okay. The reason that I'm here
today. Go ahead and get into it.
Okay, as you'll see on the slideshow behind me, my name is Daniel.
Are you making any money? Tell me about your numbers.
So we are pre-revenue. We are a pre-revenue business valued at $12 billion.
Okay, I don't care about that. Just tell me, how much are you making?
Well, me personally,
how much are you asking for?
$12 billion.
You're asking for $12 billion.
Yeah, I am.
Okay, your 7 minutes is up. We got to get to the daily wins of the week.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. I like that. I enjoyed that. I hope you enjoyed that because I enjoyed that. Okay, daily wins of the week. Marshall, what do we got here for the daily wins of the week?
So daily wins of the week, we got Faith Church Tulsa Church here in town. You can find them at faithchurchtulsa.com. They are hosting their grand reopening.
That's right.
The grand reopening. The church has been around since the 1920s,
Marshall.
And the membership, the growth has actually become a little bit stagnant. And so they have reopened, rejuvenated, rebranded, new marketing materials. It is awesome. And we did their website, designed an experience around attending church there. We recorded actually some podcasts. That was pretty cool with Pastor Kelly.
Pastor Kelly, yeah.
And now they have a number of new members joining the church.
So they are treating their church in a way that businesses should treat their customers.
Yeah.
And now more members are joining the church.
Yeah.
And a church has been around since the 1920s. The membership growth had kind of become stagnant a little bit. Now they're doing some of these more modern techniques. They've updated their website. They've updated their marketing materials. Starting to record some podcasts. And more people are coming.
That's right.
That's awesome.
Bang, bang.
There you go. You can check them out at faithchurchtulsa.com. They just had their grand reopening. We did all their website and all their stuff for them. If you don't know what we do, Sam, go ahead and show them. If you go to thrivetimeshow.com/workshops, you can change your business in 2 days. 16 hours is a business building extravaganza that's going to give you all the action steps you need to take these huge strides that we talk about in each one of these episodes. Or if you don't know what we do at all yet, this is like the first time you've listened to this, first time you've heard about this, go to thrive15.com. Search around on thrive15.com, and on there, you can go fill out your business evaluation score. It's going to let you know where in your business, what are the areas that you need to work on. And if you do that and you tell them the Daily Hustle Show sent you, you're going to get that book, Thrive, for free. Thrive for free. Is that a good book, Marshall? Is that book good?
It's a great book.
What is that book about?
It's designing your destiny and taking more proactive action rather than being reactive to the life that happens to you.
Boom. So if that's something you're interested in, all you got to do, thrive15.com, go fill out that business evaluation score. Tell them that we sent you. You're going to get that book for free. This was the Sean Kemp episode. Marshall, I wish we talked more about Sean Kemp in this episode. I got to be honest.
I wish we had played some highlight reel of Sean Kemp.
All the homework that you have, one, come back for the next episode where we're talking about frame control, and two, look up Sean Kemp highlights.
Yeah.
If you're at home, go look at some Sean Kemp highlights, the Rain Man, him and Gary Payton. Mm. I love that team.
Yeah.
Deadlift Shrimp.
Yeah.
You like some Detlef Shrimp.
Shrimp.
You kind of look like a Detlef Shrimp.
There's an F in there.
Are you and Detlef Shrimp like the same size?
Yeah.
I had never realized that you were like Detlef Shrimp.
Yeah.
Detlef Shrimp.
In fact, I think you've told me that before.
You're now one of my favorite basketball players. All right. So for episode 40 over there, Detlef Shrimp. Over here, Daniel McKenna. Come back next time to talk about frame control. We'll talk to you next time. Boom.